Let's start tonight by opening in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight that you're the God who changes lives. It isn't a fairy tale. It isn't a myth. It isn't a figment of our imagination. It isn't make-believe. You change lives. You give meaning and purpose to our otherwise aimless and empty lives. You fill the hole that's in every human heart. You bring about transformation where there was loneliness, where there was emptiness, where there was all kinds of confusion. You bring clarity, you bring purpose, you bring love, you bring yourself. And Father, you know every single person here tonight. You know where they grew up. You know what the environment of their home life was like. You know what their neighborhood was like, what their school was like, what their relatives were like, what their siblings were like. You know what their thoughts are. You know what's going on in their life right now. You know what it is that's led them here this evening. And it matters to you. It matters greatly to you. You love them. You care about them. And I ask you tonight, Lord, that you'd open every one of our hearts to understand the truth and the reality of God and why we have such an extraordinary reason to be filled with hope in such a world with so much despair and so much hopelessness and so many problems. Speak to our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we started a series entitled, Why Hope? And I just want to refresh your mind with one simple verse tonight from the book of 1 Peter. Why hope? All honor and praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is by His boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with the wonderful expectation, anticipation, and hope because Jesus rose from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance, eternal life for His children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change or decay. And God in His mighty power will protect you until you receive this eternal life because you are trusting Him. Hoping in Him. It will be revealed on that last day for all to see. So be full of joy. There is wonderful joy ahead for you, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a time. Last week, we talked about eternity. The fact is that every single person in this room, I don't know if you watched the news lately, but yesterday, Dick Clark died. A few days before that, the man who does all those famous paintings of outdoors with lights in them, I think his name is Jim Hansen, he was 54, he died. Today, one of the founding members of the group, the band, Lee Von Helm, died. No matter who you are in the world, no matter rich or poor, whatever country you're from, rich or famous, you die. Every person dies. And sometimes you look at life the way it is. If we're really honest and we look at life the way it is right now. And again, if we're honest, not if we pretend all that matters is our own life. You know, there's one way to go about life. You can stick your head in the sand and just pretend. But if you look out at what's going on in the world, if you look at our economy, if you look at the way human beings treat one another, if you look at what's going on in the world, Leon Panetta just said 2 days ago, every day right now, we're an inch away from another war. It's not an exaggeration. These people have access to information that would blow your mind. You think Google gives you information? They have information at the highest levels of government of all the threats against this nation. The reality is, we are living in a very, very difficult time. A time that could easily cause people to be filled with despair. So many people today, you know, I just got to share this with you. So tonight my daughter comes, my grandchildren are here, at least four of them are here, and they come running up to me, they grab me, they smile, they sit on my lap. I'm holding my little granddaughter the whole time they're doing the music. And as I was holding my little granddaughter Elsa, I was just reflecting on how many kids, how many young people in this room grew up without the daily, smiling, joyful support of a father and a mother who loved them and they knew they were loved, who accepted them, who sought to build them up in their strengths, who encouraged their uniquenesses, who valued them, who appreciated them, who were enthusiastic about them, who couldn't wait to get home from work to see them. That was the reality that my children grew up in. God is my witness. That's the reality my grandchildren are growing up in. Hardly anyone grows up in that reality. So many children grow up either without one of the parents, or they grow up experiencing kind of the mindset they're kind of just a pain in the neck. Very few grow up in an environment where they experience not perfection, but love, total love. And they're accepted, and they're encouraged, and they're affirmed, and they're guided, and they're enjoyed. And you look out in the world that you and I live in, and it's a brutal world. I mean, a woman just yesterday in Texas, a nurse, drove into a brand new mom, killed her so she could steal the baby. I could go, I mean, I could just share with you a litany all over the world of the kind of brutality that is going on in our world today. And so again, if you're honest, and if you read the news at all, and don't just stick earphones in your ear and pretend the world isn't really here, it can be absolutely hopeless. And I appreciated so much Amber sharing her story, because the reality is a lot of young college students, a lot of young people just like Amber, they party, they have a boyfriend, another boyfriend, they try to find some meaning and purpose in life, but when they go home, and I just loved her honesty, this used to happen to me. I go home from a party, or I go home from being with friends, and I get home and I go, you know, what was the point? What was the point? So many of my friends are just phony anyway. I'm phony. I use people. I'm probably being used. What kind of a world do I live in? And we kind of hit the wall. Now, some people, when they hit the wall, they go search for deeper meaning. Other people, when they hit the wall, just pretend they didn't hit the wall and decide they don't want to think deep thoughts, and they avoid the subject and they move on. And they miss what they were put here to find. And we're going to talk about that this evening. But last week, the first thing that I wanted you to understand about why hope is this. You and I, if we know Jesus Christ, you're going to live forever. Not in a bad place, but in a good place. See, every person born is going to live forever. I don't know if you knew that. Without Christ, you die forever. You are in a perpetual state of dying. You don't just lie in the casket, buried in the grave, and there you are. Now, that's the banana peel. The banana that is you, the soul, the spirit, your personality, goes on forever. But without Christ, it's horrific. With Christ, you and I, no matter what's going on in our life right now, no matter what difficulties we may have experienced or we may be in, we have an extraordinary future to look forward to, and it will never end. It won't cost you a dime. And I got into it with you last week. I'd really encourage you to get the tape or the message or download it. I guess there aren't tapes anymore. Unless you're at my house, then there's drawers full of old ones. You and I are going to get a brand new body. Okay, we'll review real quick. We're going to get a brand new body. We're going to have a brand new planet to live on. The Bible says God is going to destroy this one and make one even more magnificent and astounding. No bugs, bad bugs. No germs, no pain, no sorrow, no tears, no boredom, no work, no taxes, no harassment, no trials, no jealousy, no envy, no temptation, no flesh to have to fight against every day. No hatred between races or people. Love, food, enjoyment, and a brand new galaxy, a brand new universe. All for us to be able to explore. And these new bodies of ours will be able to do what Christ's body did. For we will see him as he is. The Bible says we will be like him. And when Jesus rose from the dead, one moment he's on the road to Emmaus, boom, he disappears, and now he's in the upper room. Boom, he disappears, and now he's on the shore with the disciples. It'll be the same for us. These people who are going to fly, you know, to be the first people to fly. Forget the guy's name. He's got long hair. He's rich, and he's building private spacecraft for people to fly, and I think some rich people are the first ones to get a ride on it. Big deal. I won't have to pay a dime, my friend, and I'll just boom, and I'm there, and I'll be able to breathe the air on every one of them. You and I have an extraordinary future, and we will be in the presence of God, in the presence of total love, total joy, total wisdom, total compassion. And because God is infinite, it's hard for us to understand this. It's like spending your whole life diving into all the most wonderful places in the oceans, and you can live 1,000 lifetimes before you see everything you could possibly imagine in the oceans. Now imagine God, infinity. It will take all of eternity, which never ends, for God to reveal more and more and more layers of himself to you and all that he's made for you. That's what you and I have to look forward to. But in the meantime, we're stuck here. Right? That's the reality. We have wonderful joy to look ahead. We have wonderful anticipation. We can have tremendous confidence at what's coming. Jesus Christ conquered death. Did you understand the significance? He rose from the dead. We are not going to die if you have Jesus Christ. You're not going to die. Oh, the body may wear out. You're going to get a new body. The spirit and the soul will not die. You have eternal life. Your sins are forgiven. You're right with God. But in the meantime, we're here. Someone asked me, so Mark, how do you cope? People have asked me that. How do you cope? Why do you have hope? Did you know the Bible says in Peter, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the reason for your hope. Why are you hopeful? How do you keep going? I could tell you so many family stories of my extended family. I mean, I've got a family that's got a lot of stuff going on. A lot of very difficult stuff. Extended family. And their lives are very difficult. My life has also had lots of difficulties, lots of trials, except I'm still smiling. There's a joy in my life. That doesn't mean there haven't been tears. There have. That doesn't mean there are times I haven't despaired. I have. That doesn't mean at times I haven't been discouraged. I have. And we'll look at some of this tonight in the scriptures. As David himself despaired. But the bottom line is, no matter what, even at times when I despair, I have hope for one reason. God. One three-letter word. God. The reality of God presently in my life. The reality of God available in relationship to every single one of you. The living God. Access to God. A relationship with God. The presence of God. The person of God living inside of me every day. The ear of God. The heart of God towards us. And I'd like to read to you a few Psalms this evening and share with you the impact that this has had in my life personally. If I could just coordinate all this stuff. In Hebrews chapter 6, there's a passage here that I'd like to read to you. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17, it says this: God also bound himself with an oath, so those who receive his promise could be perfectly sure that God would never change his mind. So God has given us both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to God for refuge can take new courage and hope. For we can hold on to his promise with confident expectation. This hope is like a strong anchor and trustworthy anchor for our soul. You see, notice what it says there, we have fled to God. I don't know about you, I don't know where you're at in life, but I know there are some people here who have recently I've had the opportunity to share Christ with, and I can tell you, they fled to God. They kind of ran from the past and all the crap back there, and they've run to God. I ran to God. 19 years of age, I ran to God. For a long time, I ran from God. Deliberately, willfully. I knew about Christ. I went to church with my family, and I didn't want that stuff. I didn't want the restraint of God. You know, I thought I knew what was best for my life. And I wanted kind of, to be honest, a wild life. A few days ago, I was spending time, as I do, very early in the morning, and I was just praying, talking to God. It's one of the greatest privileges of my life is to have the ear of God. I could not get the ear of the president for all my money. I can get the ear of God every single day, every moment, wherever I'm at. And every day, I bend God's ear. And I was just, as I was on my elliptical trainer, talking to God, I just began to just tears of joy as I thought, you know, Lord, I'm 55 years old. When I read these stories about guys like Levon Helm or even Bob Dylan or Keith Richards or other guys like this or John Mellencamp, I think, you know what, Lord, the honest to God truth is that's what I would be today. In fact, one of the guys of the band, I think his name was Emmanuel. I didn't know him very well, so I'm familiar. At 58, he hung himself. You know why so many musicians take their own life, or artistic people? One, because they're melancholy. That's part of what it means to be creative. Not every person who's creative is always melancholy, but quite often. Secondly, because they often see reality as it really is, and they see no reason to hope, and they just give up. And they're perfectionist, and nothing is ever quite the way they want it to be, so they often take their life. And they try to party so much, but all the party in the world doesn't really numb you to reality. Once you wake up and smell the roses, you realize it's all just a joke. It's a joke. Have you ever read the book of Ecclesiastes? The Bible's very honest about what life is like without God. And it's a joke. Solomon, the wisest man, said, "Vanity of vanities, it's like chasing the wind. It's so empty. It's so meaningless, if you're honest. If you're not honest, it's kind of like you're living on your own little dream world all the time." And I was just on that elliptical. And just, God, I just thank you so much. You saved me. You saved me. You changed my life. I'd have no wife. I'd have no family. I'd have no friends. See, because I know what I'm like without Jesus Christ. I know what I'm like. I was thinking about, I don't know if you read this again. I just keep up on stuff. So the other day, they wanted to induct Guns N' Roses into the Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So Axl Rose and Slash now despise each other. They hate each other's guts. I think I have the names right. I was never into Guns N' Roses. They were not my kind of band. But Axl Rose writes off some rambling letter, and then Slash gets on TV, and he's saying stuff back, and they can't stand each other. These were guys who made millions together, but their egos get in the way. They can't stand each other. It's called arrogance. And to be quite honest, if I didn't have Jesus Christ changing me, I would be one of those kinds of individuals. Just a self-absorbed, complete moron. And there was, if I even got married at all, I'd probably be in my fourth or fifth marriage. If I could even find anybody who'd want to love me. That's a whole other matter. And I'm not pulling any punches. That's the truth. So us Christians, those who fled to God for refuge, here's the deal. God has promised, made a promise, and then he swore an oath. First of all, God doesn't need to swear an oath because when God gives a promise, God cannot lie. But God just wanted to back it up. He just wanted you to know, I've swore by myself and I've given you my promise. I'm going to keep my word to you. You and I have an anchor of hope in this God who makes this promise. Now we're going to go to Psalms, and I'm just going to read a few Psalms here tonight and share them with you, and then we'll close. David says in Psalm 39, "And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you." Psalm 40, "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground, and he steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to God. Many will see what he has done and be astounded. They will put their trust in the Lord. All the joys of those who hope in the Lord, who put no confidence in proud humans. I have told all your people about your justice. I have not been afraid to speak out, as you, O Lord, know so well. I have not kept this good news hidden in my heart. I've talked about your faithfulness, your saving power. I've told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. Lord, don't hold back your tender mercies from me. My only hope is in your unfailing love and faithfulness. For troubles surround me, too many to count. They pile up so high, I cannot see my way out. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head. I have lost all my courage. But all who search for you..." See, so he gives in and out there. You see, this is David living in the reality. He knows the tender mercies of God. He knows that the only hope we have is in God. See, God loves you. The world does not. The president does not. The governor does not. God loves you. God made you. Every single thing in your life matters to God. Did you know that? Your present difficulties matter to God. I happen to know that many of you right now are going through some pretty intense difficulties. We got folks here that are going through some pretty serious health challenges. We have some folks here that are going through some pretty challenging financial situations, not because of anything they've done, but things that have just come from the hand of God, but also as a result of this economy. I know some of you that are in a very difficult housing situation, and you desperately need God to come through, and it looks bleak. In fact, you look out your window, and there's nothing promising. It can look like, Lord, this looks hopeless. How is this going to happen? God. And I'm going to explain this to you in a moment. God. God is the solution to it all. God comes through. And David, he's writing about this. He's writing about the difficulties he was facing. He cried out to God. He was stuck in this difficult situation. He was in a pit of despair. He was in the mud and the mire, both circumstantially and emotionally. And he waited and he waited. And then he goes on to say, "And God put a new song in my mouth." Why? In other words, he took my despair, put a song in my heart. Why? Because he did something for me. God answered. God came through. God kept his word. God kept his promise. God is not bound by the economic laws of America. God is not bound by the depressed housing market. God is not bound by the fact that, well, businesses just don't want to seem to hire. Listen, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Romans 4:17, says this. I've gone over this verse so many times. It's talking about Abraham, that Abraham hoped against hope. There was no hope that he could ever have a child. He was 85, almost 100. His wife, almost 85. He was impotent. He could not have children. She could no longer bear children. She was beyond menopause. But God had promised him I'll give you a child. And through that child, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. What was God telling him? The story, for those of you who don't know it, is God was prophesying the Jewish nation. The entire Jewish nation, Abraham, is going to come through your loins. And the Messiah of the world. Abraham's 100 years old. The Bible says, in hope against hope, Abraham believed God's promise for, and this is the phrase I have burned into my mind, God calls into being that which does not exist. You need a house? Pray. You need a house? Trust God. God calls into being what presently is not even on the market. You need a job? Pray. God has made promises in His Word. He cannot go back on those promises. You see, God is everything to the Christian. He's everything in our life. He keeps His Word. Now, what He asks of us is patience. That's the hard part. In fact, if I could just say, you know, actually, the dirtiest four-letter word to human beings? The dirtiest, W-A-I-T. We hate waiting. Let's be honest. I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait. I was going to go treat myself the other day. I was driving home from something, picking up, and I have to tell you, I have one weakness. Well, I have more than one weakness. Why did I just say I? Of course, I have more than one weakness. But with... in many areas, but in this area of food, food's not a, you know, I'm a fairly disciplined individual, to be honest. But I really like Culver's chocolate custard cake cone with one scoop. So I pulled into this Culver's, and this illustrates, you know, it's a confession, a true confession. And just as I was about to, this is so bad, but I'm just being really honest. So just as I'm about to pull in, I'm looking at the window. See, I'm scoping this out as I'm driving on the highway. I'm going pretty fast, and I'm making my decision. Should I eat? There's no one there. So I pull off the ramp, and I go in. Just as I did, somebody pulls in front of me. And it's a couple ladies. Bless your hearts, ladies. Not all ladies. Not all ladies are like this, okay? So they pull up, and they're in their big old, you know, Chrysler 300. I timed it. 7 minutes, man. They're trying to figure out their order. Two women. And I can hear the intercom. That'll be $17.99. I'm like, ladies, you are going to bust. I mean, no wonder you're dealing with weight issues. I can see the cars leaning a little bit. $17 it covers for two people. Oh, come on. And I'm like, 7 minutes, man. They're gabbing with the lady. I'm like, all I want is a cone. I just want to be in. I want to be out. So then I get up to the little thing, you know, I'm all ready to go. And the ladies, well, how are you today? I said, like a cone, one cone. Great. Well, is there anything else? Nothing else, just a cone. Would you like to try it? No, nothing else, just the cone. Well, we have a Reuben spec. Nothing else, just the cone. And then I get up. And they give me one of those little triangle numbers to put on my window for a cone. Okay, so I've illustrated. We really don't like to wait, especially some men. So, of course, you know, God has a sense of humor, but He also has a grand purpose in Mark Darling's life. Everything significant in my life, I've had to wait for. Years! Years! Not a few weeks. Not a couple hours. All the big things, years. But I can tell you at 55 and almost four decades now, I'm coming at 37 years of following Christ. God has not once let Kathy or I down. Not once. Not once. Not raising our children, not providing a roof over our head, not giving the cars we need or the finances that we needed to provide. I'm not rich. I'm not preaching here prosperity gospel. I'm saying God will keep His word to give you what you need. You trust Him. He's your ace in the hole. And while all my friends, I have a number of friends who do not know the Lord, or relatives who not following the Lord, their trajectory of life has not been like mine at all. They're filled with worries and anxieties, and life doesn't work because they don't seek God. They don't have the reality of God right now in their life. And I could just go down list after list, thing after thing after thing after thing. I have a book at home where I haven't put all of them. I wished I did, but I've put a number. And where David says in the Psalms here that he has answered us, he has astounded me with awesome deeds. Many will see what he has done and be astounded. I could tell you, God has just done some really amazing things for me, both in ministry, pastoring, things I had to trust God for, pray for, job, for my sales job, for business that I needed. It was so bad. It was just so bad. The environment was so bad. Nobody was buying. They hated my company. I found that out after I got the job. I thought, this is great, Lord, you came through. And then I found that everybody in town hated the company. But I couldn't quit. It was the only job I had. Homes that we needed. Provision. God keeps his word. This is the same God that for 40 years, with no refrigeration, in a desert, provided for the Jews with Moses every single day with manna. That's our God. That's our God. And God cares as much about you. But you got to put your hope in him. You won't experience the reality of God in your life if you don't put your hope in him. One of my favorite psalms I'd like to read to you. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for the living God. When may I come and stand before him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where's this God of yours? Where's your God? I remember as a young man, I just started following Christ, and my father, who at the time was still around, I haven't seen my father now in like 21 years. I saw him when Micah was 2. That's how I keep track. Micah's 23. So I haven't seen him for 21 years. My father was around then, and he'd begun to witness this amazing transformation in my life. And it was amazing. I mean, it was just from what I was. But my father, he had chosen to really turn his back on the Lord. Really, really hardcore, hard heart against God. My father went from, at one time, genuinely, and I mean seriously, radically embracing Jesus Christ, going down to the Skid Row missions of Los Angeles, California, when I was a little boy, sharing the gospel with people, preaching the gospel. His Bible, the pages are all worn. I have it at home just to remind me that at any moment, if I do not desperately cling to God, I could walk away from all of it. I'm no different than my father. I'm no better than my father. I desperately need God. So my father had now embraced Nietzsche, Marxism. He would regularly bring up Hitler at the dinner table. My father just, it was just crazy. And I remember one time we were out in the garage and I was trying to share with my dad a little bit. And because he would, he'd seen Christ do a lot in my life. I was 19, almost 20. And he said, Mark, he started laughing. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, it's so easy. You're 19 years old. You got a $323 car, Mark. $323 car. And there's just you and you sleep on a 10-cent cot you got from the Goodwill. Just wait till you're married and you have kids. Then you'll find out manna don't grow on trees, Mark. Money don't grow on trees. And God don't come through. And I looked at him. I said, I welcome the day, Dad, and I will prove you wrong. And I got married. And I got 4 kids, and I had no silver spoon in my mouth whatsoever. And for 37 years, well, 33 now, my wife and I have been married. God has provided everything we needed. As we trusted him, yes, I had to work, but as I trusted him, God came through. And to be honest, I said I hadn't seen my father, but we have spoken a couple times. And I remember one particular time, it was when Jessica was very sick, and I never expected my father to contact us. My sister, who lives up in Elk River, had contacted my dad. They're kind of close. He's not too close to the rest of the family. And he told her about Jessica. So out of the blue, he calls. And it was kind of awkward. He talked to Jessica, and then she said he wanted to talk to me. So I got on the phone, and we talked a little while. And he said, "You know, Mark, I got to tell you something. I told your daughter, your situation is like Job, and I'd have walked away from God years ago if I'd been put through by God what you guys have." He said, "I'm astounded. I'm amazed." He said, "Mark, I'm even really proud of you. I don't know what to say." I didn't know what to say either. Except, you know, Dad, remember when you told me this? You know, all these years. Yep, God has taken us through some really tough, tough, gut-wrenching stuff. He's never failed us, Dad, not one time. If only it waited. You see, the problem is what happens is we run. Because we went out of the fire. Because we can't take the heat. I understand that. Like the psalmist here, did you know this is a psalm of great discouragement? He's despairing. Listen to what he says. "My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks. It was the sound of great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why so sad? Why in despair? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember your kindness from Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging sea as your waves and surging tides sweep over me." And I mean, I remember being in a situation with Jess, and I felt this way. Lord, just wave after wave after wave. And I would start my day so often, every day, in prayer, but often, at least half the time, in tears. "God, save us. God, get me out of this. God, we're going to die in this." And I go left, I go right, I go here, I go there. I get in conflicting information. Nothing's working. Lord, please save us. And yet, through each day, the Lord pours His unfailing love on me. And through each night, I sing His songs, praying to the God who gives me life. "Oh, my God, my rock," I cry. "Why have you forsaken me? Why must I wander in the darkness? Why am I discouraged? Why so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God." You see, we go back and forth. That's okay. God understands your humanity. God understands our fragility. But we always have hope. Because we have God. God does not die. God does not wane. God does not weaken. God is not disinterested. God does not disappoint. Did you know the Bible says those who hope in the Lord will never be disappointed? You're going to get discouraged sometimes. You're going to get really discouraged because life is bleak. Things are difficult. And God doesn't always come through in the time frame that you dictate or that you would desire or that you would wish for. Don't worry about that. Trust me when I say this. God will come through. And God will bear your burdens. You can take those burdens to God. You can say to Him whatever's on your heart. You can pour out your frustration. You can pour out your disillusionment. You can pour out your disheartenment. And then say to your soul, "Soul, put your hope in God. Put your hope in God." You know, I'll close with a simple thought. You ever seen we live here in Minnesota. Maybe this is a better analogy. We live in Minnesota, and remember, not this winter, but last winter. Not this last one. This was baby stuff. In fact, I could take it that way all the time, where a lot of people are walking in shorts all winter long here. But last winter, do you remember, honestly, the feeling? We're buried in snow. This is never going to end. Will summer ever dawn upon Minnesota again? Will the sun ever come out? It could feel like that. People are getting cabin fever, and People are like, man, I remember this because me, old man, had to shovel the driveway at least 20 times. I keep track. And on half of those occasions, it was backbreaking, miserable, brutal cold, and about this deep with a shovel. No snowblower for this old guy. At least not yet. That's how life can feel sometimes. Like one of those long, long Minnesota winters, you wonder, is this ever going to end? Is it ever going to end? But here's the thing. Here's what you know. Now listen to me very carefully. Every one of us have seen the reality. The sun always comes up the next day, and summer always arrives. It may not be the exact kind of summer you'd want. Like, you know, the temperature today, I told Kathy, you know, I had the door wide open. I'm like, I could take it like this all the time. I was out praying this morning. It was 34 degrees. I always check weatherunderground.com every morning. It was 34 today. And then I got there about 55. I'm like, I could take this all the time. I really enjoy it. Sun shining. God is the same way. Life sometimes is going to seem very bleak, like you're buried under a blanket of snow, like you're buried under a blanket of trouble. God is above those clouds. When I've flown in a plane, one of the things that's always struck me, you're down below, and often it's overcast, and it's raining, and it's so ugly, and that jet begins to make its way. And then all of a sudden, and it's kind of spooky, I don't really like looking out the window, because you look out and all of a sudden you hit the clouds and it's just bleak. It's dark and sometimes there's lightning and the plane shaking. Just like, well, Lord, I'm in your hands literally. And then about 5, 6, 7 minutes, bam, you're through the clouds. You're on the top of the clouds looking down and you're in the sun zone. Have you ever experienced that? This is how God wants us to understand. We may be living under the clouds and we're feeling like we're under the clouds, but you trust me. Mark, trust me. You know how the sun's up there? I'm there. I'm here, Mark. I'm walking with you. Now hold on. Trust me with the eyes of faith, which you cannot see right now, but know, just like that sun came out, just like summer came, I'm going to come through for you. And he always has. That's why I hope. Those two reasons. I'm going to live forever in the most extraordinary place with a brand new body. I have everything in the world to look forward to. And number two, every day in the meantime, I have God. So do you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the reality of Jesus Christ in our life, for the joy of knowing God. The joy, the tender mercy. David says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness. David says, your promises are my armor and protection. Faithfulness is your very character. You keep your word. You keep your word. You keep your word. And I just ask you, Lord, tonight, that every single person in this auditorium tonight, over the next week and months and years, would experience in greater and greater ways the reality of the living God in their lives from this moment forward. In Jesus' name.